is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host today, Dr. Vic Ramsey. Doc, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm so super happy to be back with you, man, after a little hiatus. It's all good. Yes, indeed. The weather's working well down here in Brooklyn, New York. And in commemoration of Black History Month, today would have been Nina Simone's 90th birthday. So for our listeners, Nina Simone, yes. Tune in. Beautiful, beautiful singer. So yes, I'm happy to be here with you today. Looking forward to our show.
Happy birthday from above, right?
Indeed. Yes.
Wow. Well done. So welcome to the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. And in today's show, we will discuss an important topic related to coaching and the important lessons we can learn from our children in sport today. However, and before we proceed, the idea for today's show was not mine or Dr. Ramsey's, but a listener of the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast who came to us. Thank you. And we are certainly grateful to our New York State AFERD members and extended listenership. It means a lot. Thank you so much. Yes. So that said, our panel includes some fantastic people, and we could not be more excited for them to join us. Our first guest is Mr. John Strong. Mr. Strong is an associate professor within the Health and Physical Education Department of Niagara County Community College, NCCC, where he also serves as the coordinator of the Physical Education Studies Degree Program and Personal Training Certificate Program. John has also been serving as the Chief Diversity and Equity Officer at NCCC for the past two academic years. He divides his time between these academic pursuits and his wife of more than 20 years and teenage children. His oldest son, Jackson, attends Canisius College. Snap, snap. As a sophomore, PE major, and an outfield on the MAC championship baseball team. Woo! His younger son, Caden, is a senior at West Seneca East High School who participates in volleyball, track, vocals, and other athletic pursuits. He'll be joining Buffalo State College next year as an inaugural member of the men's volleyball team there and study wood furniture design. Welcome, John. That you must be really proud. Welcome and thanks for joining us today. Any words for the listeners?
No, I really appreciate you all having me on and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about those glory days. Those are fun memories for me. And they continue to be because my boys continue to participate. So thanks.
Of course. Thanks, John.
Awesome.
We are also excited to have John's better half join us today. Miss Kelly Strong, born Kelly Therese Schrantz and still known throughout much of Western New York volleyball world that way. Kelly Strong is currently an elementary PE teacher at Lindbergh Elementary in Kenmore, New York. Her coaching career is just shy of her teaching career of nearly 23 years. She won Section 6 Coach of the Year honors multiple times, the Western Zone Amazing Person, and still plays recreational volleyball if the time is right. She has two sons, Jackson and Caden Strong, whom she has had the potential to coach in volleyball in the club setting, and Caden, as we mentioned, is going to continue his volleyball career at Buffalo State next year on the Division III inaugural men's volleyball team. Welcome, Kelly. Any words and hello to our listeners?
Thank you, Clancy. Thanks for having us. And I look forward to the conversation today.
Awesome.
Welcome.
We also have Miss Jana Reedy joining us as a guest. Jana attended Canisius College. Snaps again, right? Where she majored in physical education and played soccer for the Lady Griffs. She has taught at PE at Elmira Free Academy, and I'm assuming Triple C. That is, go ahead, Jana.
Corning Community College,
my apologies, for more than 5 years. She then worked at Glovehouse as a program manager John, I was then the Dean of Students at Addison Middle School, High School for 6 years, and now the current Assistant Principal of CTE and Alternative Education at GST BOCES, Cooper's Education Center. She has coached both of her daughters in varsity lacrosse at Elmira High School. Jana's oldest daughter is a freshman in college where she continues to play lacrosse, and her youngest daughter is a sophomore in high school. Impressive, Jana. Welcome to the show. Some words of hello?
Oh, thank you for having me, Clancy. I appreciate it and look forward to this conversation.
Thank you, Jana. And last but certainly not least, we have the one and only Dr. Greg Reeds joining us on today's show. Dr. Reeds is an emeritus professor from Canisius College. Well represented today, wouldn't you say, Dr. Ramsey? Wow. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And who has a wealth of knowledge in motor learning and sports psychology. He is definitely the real deal.
How appropriate.
He has coached soccer at various levels at Acadia University in the Maritimes of Canada. That's the East Coast for those who are wondering. He's also coached at the University of Buffalo and served as the head coach of the men's soccer team and the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference champions of 1996 at Canisius College. Woo-hoo. Dr. Reeds has continued coaching endeavors locally, including coaching his own children, Harrison and Allie, as well. So welcome, Dr. Reeds. Any words of hello?
Hello for sure. And I think this is just a wonderful and exciting topic with all these guests on to share our thoughts and reflections and emotions about coaching your own kids. I think in a world today where there's a movement afloat to not coach your own kids, I resisted that. And I said, I think I can do a fine job. Everything will work out fine. So cool your jets and let's get ready to roll.
Well, that's awesome, Dr. Reeds. Thank you. And with that being said, that's exactly what we're going to chat about, a personal topic relatable about coaching our own sons and daughters.
Yes.
Again, a great topic. And perhaps for all of us, it may be a little uncomfortable, but uncomfortable is good because that's how we learn and grow, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Dr. Ramsey, anything to add to that? Or
I'm here. I am a sponge. I'm here to absorb and learn because I need to get this information and share it with those coaches that I see coaching their own daughters and sons. And maybe I may get some tidbits for them because I see some good, bad, and really ugly. So let's see. I'm looking forward to this information. So, yes. And we have some questions for our panelists today. What a cadre of panelists we have today. So I want to start off. I want to kick this off by asking you directly, and that is for our entire panel, is as a coach, what are the challenges and or benefits when coaching our own daughters and sons? Let's start with our last panelist that we introduced, Dr. Reeds.
Yes, hi. There's certainly challenges and maybe some differences between sons and daughters also. For me, I wanted to make sure that I didn't give any preferential treatment to my own as far as playing time, captains, arriving late for practice, anything like that. I wanted to make sure we're all on a level playing field. I wanted to make sure I didn't push my own kids harder or give them a break. I wanted to make sure everybody was had a fair treatment. And I guess most of all, I wanted my coaching not to compromise the friendships of my kids and their friends on the team. I guess I really hope that I had to pick players, recruit players, cut players, keep players. And I always hope that the things we did would not get back to my kids with a statement like, boy, your dad is absolutely brutal. He's killing us. He's way too competitive. This is not what we signed up for. So coming out of the tunnel at that end, I think if you can keep those things in perspective, we can survive. Just one thought. My son, who was pretty confident and was aggressive and could rise to the occasion, we could count on him, never seemed to be self-conscious. I always worried about my daughter a little bit more being self-conscious and concerned if dad would ever self-destruct or do something dumb. So I was always on my best behavior for both kids, but just sensitive that she would say, Dad, this is just not working out.
I appreciate that, Ted. So thank you.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Well, we have a little surprise for our listeners today. At the towards the end of the show, we're going to bring on some of our sons and daughters to speak on that. So that was Harrison Reeds, Dr. Reeds' son, joining us today. Welcome, Harrison. You want to say hi to our listeners?
Hi, how are we doing today? I am Dr. Reeds' son. He was my soccer coach for most of my like late middle school, high school, club level for soccer. And I think that hearing him say what he said, kind of introduce himself, looking at it from like the athlete's perspective, like the kid on the team, that's something that I really can tell that he did put, you know, in priorities, like the relationship managing and not taking things too far, not trying to push me anymore. I mean, he called every kid on my team son. We all worked hard together. And I think that, I still, most of the kids on my team, I either still play with in men's leagues or, you know, hang out with, you know, go see sports games with. I just hung out with two of my former teammates that he coached a couple of days ago. So the friendships that I have from sports were definitely not compromised at all. And half the time we just talk about funny things we did in practice with him anyway. So it's almost enhanced. So I had a great opportunity to be coached by my dad.
Wow. That sounds like that's going to be passed down in the future. So sounds great.
Thanks for sharing, Harrison.
So I'm just going to venture out and just go in there. Let's go with Jana and then Kelly in that order. And that's all right. And then we leave John to wrap up the question.
So I'll piggyback off of Dr. Reed's. One of the biggest challenges when they're younger, it's easier. You know, everybody plays, everyone has fun, and you're just kind of learning a lot of stuff. But as the varsity lacrosse coach, as my girls were coming up through, I tried to separate myself as the head coach, making sure I had rubrics and everything in place to know the skill levels of all the kids. But when it came down to making that major decision, I relied on my assistant coach and my JV coaches to help. So there was never any of that feedback from other parents or kids saying, well, they just made it because, you know, your mom's the varsity coach. So we tried to make that separation, and that definitely helped. Having an assistant coach, my girls both played defense, so I made sure that I really took on the offensive and the middies more so than the defensive end, and put my assistant with them. So again, I could make that separation as a parent and a coach, still overseeing the program and keeping the integrity of the program. But you know, there's good stuff too, because in the end, all those players, deem themselves as your child too. So I didn't have just two kids on my varsity team. I had 16 to 18 kids, and they all viewed me as that, which was what you want to build in the end, is a complete and total family.
Wow. Quite impressive. Wow.
Indeed. Well said.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Kelly.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. I was able to coach my sons as they were younger, 11, 12, 13U in club volleyball. And again, you know, the competitiveness wasn't, you know, top priority, more of the skill building and that type of thing was more of the focus. And from my perspective, I have way different coaching experiences with my children. So my older son, I found coaching much easier because of the way our personalities meshed. My younger son, I found much more difficult to coach due to his personality traits. So I would say I had one really good experience, one much tougher experience. And I'll let John kind of chime in with me here too, because he got to the nice thing about being able to coach with my husband, giving us some advice as well. And then as I stepped down from coaching, my husband stepped in and coached as they were able to move on into their volleyball careers. So I would say, while the challenges are very difficult and can be tough at times, the benefits of connecting and building the relationships and making the relationship stronger with your kids are a great benefit.
That's funny to hear you say that. And this is John, the husband speaking. because I had already at that point been coaching our boys in baseball. They started, you know, really young in baseball, as you know, baseball kids do, t-ball, and then coach pitch. And when coach pitch hit, I kind of had to get off the sidelines. It was one of those I don't know if there's any parents out there that find themselves on the sidelines thinking, if this is what they're giving my kid, I gotta get out there and give my kid more. That's essentially what happened. And so in the baseball space, I coached the two of them till they were 12 years old. And then in the volleyball space, I kind of picked up at that point, to Kelly's point, Caden in middle school went out for the modified team and they didn't have a modified coach. The school district literally had nobody to do it. And so I volunteered. I got all the boys, you know, into a place where they were getting fit, where they were understanding the basics of the game. And as, you know, our son Caden matured, I realized, well, another year modified doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So why don't we move up to JV next year? So he played JV as an eighth grader. And at that point, his older brother was a 10th grader and was already on the varsity team. So there wasn't, you know, he was done with me. The older son, Jackson, at 14 years old, was very much done with dad coaching him. So you talk about the challenges and the benefits. You know, the ability to encroach into your son or daughter's space and say what you think about their actions all the time becomes problematic. So you could do this better on the court and you could do that better on the court. And on the court, that's great because they're going to improve. Well, as soon as you take that, like, hey, why don't you get your elbows off the table? And hey, why don't you, you know what I mean? That now you're getting into space away from the playing field. Where, you know, I have been told by my son, you're doing that too much. And that's absolutely problematic. And that is absolutely a challenge. But the benefit laid in the space, you know, all the little spaces where we did become close. And then finally at the high school level, at the varsity level at West Seneca East, the varsity coach was kind enough to allow me to volunteer. And when Caden was a 10th grader and Jackson was a 12th grader, we won a sectional championship. And just the elation of having our guys, you know, hit that high mark of performance was really wonderful. Not, you know, not so much the medal, but just to really play at a high level. That's what I think Kelly and I try and espouse the most is always be giving the most of yourself in the many situations that you find yourself. That's you know, that's why we're kind of a sporty household, you might say.
Wow.
Thanks for sharing.
Wow, I'm taking notes because I have not had the privilege of doing and coaching to my son other than giving him instructions on physical activity. But I guess that's beyond that's a little bit of what you do. But some of the for our listeners, some of the words that stood out to me that I kind of heard in between the conversation was words like transparency, being honest with the entire team, building, reflecting on our coaching practices, relationship building, which I think it's important. I heard that, and certainly life skills, because that's how I heard it in one old big conglomerate of feedback that you gave us here. Thank you so much.
Great stuff indeed. starting with Dr. Reeds and through all of our panelists, a lot of things to think about, and not much for me to add. You know, coaching my children now, I've learned a few things, and you know, speaking to what John just mentioned, that delicate balance of when the coach hat comes off and the dad hat comes on. That's, you know, that's the thing that you know, you take on when you take on this extra role of you know, rearing your sons and daughters in sport as well. So thanks for sharing. That's great. So we have another question for our panelists, and whoever wants to answer is fine. What do we have to consider from a parent or child, whether it's your own child or other children, from a perspective standpoint? What are the considerations from a parent or child, whether it's your child or others? What perspectives do we have to consider? We kind of overlap some of this already.
Jinx, I saw you on unmute there, Dr. Reeds.
Yeah, I think you're up.
My thoughts are that these families trust you with their children, and you're going to take them on a pretty wild ride. If we had a game on Saturday, I would call on Friday night to make sure everybody had their ID cards, their team cards ready to go. Did you need a ride? We had a van, and we had kids that would be in my van. We would take them to the game. I wanted the families to have a truly memorable experience and make memories. And each kid I felt like was my own kid. I wanted them safe. I wanted them to have a nice experience. I wanted them to understand that winning was the preferred outcome, and we were going to do everything humanly possible within the rules of the game to bring that outcome to us, but play fairly, show sportsmanship. And if you can get the families behind you, I never did anything to gain popularity amongst the family. I made some tough choices. I sat people out, but we always gave them a ride. We always made them feel welcome. We always made them feel inclusive. And I think other kids, children, when they become on your team, are your kids. And it is just absolutely pivotal that that you give them that feeling of trust and warmth. And it's a good, safe place for you to be their leader when they give you their kids.
Well said, Doc. I think back to what you said, even in the previous question, the idea of that your children are building relationships themselves with their teammates. And, you know, you being their coach, you not only have to juggle the fact that you need to make sure that you don't appear to be biased, right? But you also have to make sure that your friends or your children can preserve those relationships when those tough decisions emerge. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
I think another important thing to do is always taking the pulse of your own child and having conversations with them about, you know, when I am mom, when I am coach, and having those conversations with the team as well. Like, yes, I'm the mom, but I am also the coach. And in this role right here, right now, I am that coach. And I got to kind of, again, take that pulse of my own kid to make sure that I'm treating them as coach in that respect and not as mom. And it's a very fine balance mm-hmm. to do. Sometimes gets extremely tricky in certain situations, but that open dialogue is definitely very helpful with everything.
Agreed. Well said.
I would piggyback on that as well, and state that there was. Let's be clear. As all kind of folks who graduated near the same time, I'm not including you, Dr. Reeds, intentionally. but grew up as we raised our children. I think that's one of the most hilarious things about parenting is you're kind of exiting your own adolescence as you try to navigate somebody in one of the most challenging times of your life into, you know, the best possible way you can. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know how skilled I was at it. In hindsight, I would say that the communication level that existed could have been better. I would say that those spaces where I felt, because you're a human being, so I felt some type of way about what was happening in the play space, that has everything to do with that performance and nothing to do with how I love my child. And I think that differentiating that intentionally probably should have happened a heck of a lot more than it ever did. Because I'm only kind of now sort of getting decent at it. And I know that there were spaces where I could have been, you know, really intentional to, listen, wasn't your best day ever. I still love you. I still think the world of you. That's never going to change. Let's continue to get in the gym and make that better. You know, to your point, Clancy, the idea of coach hat, dad hat, I think that can be verbalized a lot better. God forbid you start making assumptions about what a 10, 12, or 14-year-old thinks. That's typically a poor choice. And if you can get into clarification of those spaces where you're able to say, so do you know, X, Y, Z, I think you're always going to be better off if you keep the communication flowing rather than making assumptions that probably aren't actually happening.
Yeah. And John, I think that I talked about how I had such a hard time coaching my younger son. He needed much more patience. He needed me to be you know, a lot calmer than my normal coaching style is. So he actually made me a better coach. And you talk about it, we've been growing up as we've been raising our kids. As a young coach, I was very tough, you know, and my coaching style has changed. And part of that reason is because I coached my own kids.
Totally agree.
I love it, Kelly. That's fantastic. Both of you growing up as, what a wonderful point, growing up as parents a point often lost in all of this. I love it. Anything else to add to the conversation, or perhaps we move on?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Sounds great. Good stuff. I'm taking lots of notes. All right. So you were before a group of fellow parent coaches, and you are to give them an advice. What advice would you give other parents or coaches who have to navigate some of the issues related to being in the role that you are in, you know, or have been, you know? What advice would you give these folks?
I'll kick that off. That's a very powerful question, Dr. Ramsey, to give advice. I think you've got to start off by coaching your kids with the thought that you're going to be equal. You're not going to play favorites. You're not going to be tougher on your own kids. You're not going to make an example out of your own kids. Advice is cheap, but you have to be knowledgeable. Knowledge is power. And if you're going to prop yourself up and call yourself a coach to your own kid and other people's kids, you need to know what you're talking about. And I think that is part of the picture. I'll never forget the night. And I think a lot of parents start coaching their own kids in the backyard. That's kind of the genesis of where things get going. And we start in the backyard. I'll never forget the night we're working on some soccer skills in the backyard. My son says, "Dad, I got to go in. I got some math homework to do." I said, "Son, don't worry about your math homework. I'll do your math homework. We got some soccer skills we got to work on here. I want you to be ready. Your team expects your dad to have you ready."
Wow.
And of course, if you only knew, me offering to help math would be the worst possible suggestion. Because to this day, I still don't know how to convert three quarters into a decimal. But whoa. I was trying to make this a good experience for him so he could take that with him. And just one other thought, even though a lot of our coaching careers do start in the backyard, then we kind of formalize it. Two of the greatest parent coaches maybe of all time, Tiger Woods' dad, who wrote a book, Raising a Tiger. And I'm not saying lock your kid in the garage at age three and hit golf balls into a golf net all night. And it's not our intention to make all these kids superstars. But Raising a Tiger was a really, really interesting testimony of how you can actually coach your own kid. And the other story I wanted to share was David Beckham's dad, one of the greatest soccer players of all time. He could knock a 40-yard pass around the field and drop it on the size of a dime. And his dad took him as a kid to the park, no specialized coaching, no specialized premier training, but his dad would punt him 40 punts a day, and Beckham would trap him and knock him back to his dad. And he tried to get so precise because he didn't want his dad chasing and shagging balls all over the park. He became so precise that he could knock him right to his dad could catch the ball. So you do hear these warm, heartwarming stories of how we can succeed as a parent and as a coach. I often tell the story, I spent a lot more time studying for my driver's test than I did on how to be a parent. And wow. Parenting does not come with a handbook, so we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. So we know the sport that we love. We think we can communicate that to our kids so they can have a good experience. But the parenting piece, add that to coaching, that's quite an adventure.
Wow.
Awesome. Thank you. Wow.
Hard work to hear
from
follow.
I want to hear from another panelist. Yeah. I want more.
Oh, that's a tough act to follow, though.
Wow.
While the rest of our panelists think about it, because again, riveting, Dr. Reed's just fantastic. I go back to John's points about assumptions and being careful and with younger players, athletes, and your obviously your sons and daughters. When John spoke, it reminds me of a story of one of my children playing hockey, and he's now gotten to the age where, you know, moms and dads don't tie their skates. A couple times now he's fine. He's tying his skates now, but a couple times, I've tried to tell him, I can't tie your skates, because it's not about me. It's about, what it's going to be in the dressing room if I'm tying your skates. I remember one particular time that, I could see that he was upset, and then believe me, it crushed me too. And it was back to John's point about that communication and assumption. And it took me having to talk to my son and say to him, listen, son, I will gladly tie your skates until I'm 80 and about to pass away. I will do it for the rest of my life because I love you and I would love to be able to do it. But the reason why I don't want to is because you're now getting to an age where that kind of stuff will prompt whatever in the dressing room. And I just want the best for you. And I it would pain me to have you have to go through that. That's all I'm saying. And when I did that, he completely understood. And by the end of the summer, was tying his own skates because he now understood where I was coming from.
Life skill, life lesson. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
All I was going to say is that's a great story, Clance. And it lays in the spirit what I was saying earlier of why do you want your kids to play sports? You know what I mean? Like it's you know, we've got this entire panel full of sport people, right? Like that's who this group is, right? I played football at Canisius. Clancy, you were there on the hockey team, and Janet, you were there on the soccer team, and Kelly, you were there on the volleyball team. We were all there at the same time playing sports. We're sporty people. But to perpetuate that, in my mind, is done at its best when it is perpetuated intentionally with the life lessons that sport has to offer us. When you get a parent who closes off what they see in sport, the gaining of status, the mocking of rivals, you know, this is not at all what sport is about. And so I think what's most important that parents pick up is that sport is about people normalizing these things that they practice every day, being intentional about those good habits and good practices, and transmitting or transferring that ability into the rest of their lives. When you have a kid that is your kid, or you have a kid that is somebody else's kid, the idea that you would treat them poorly, the idea that you would treat a person poorly, I mean, how can that sit right with you? How can that strike you as okay? There are so many times when people come out of a situation, they go, you know what? I was lost in the moment. I got caught up. And yeah, I don't know why I acted like that. Well, tell you what, when we're dealing with our youth, they are so impressionable. When we miss out on those opportunities and crush first our kids, I almost feel worse about doing it to somebody else's kids, because at least my kid, when I go home, I can go, dang, that was wrong. Let me make it up to you. You know what I mean? But these parent coaches that get caught up in the status of what sport has to offer really need to take a step back, evaluate why am I so attracted to this opportunity, and try to tease out the best of what's available in that space, which is the elevation of habit toward excellence in all spaces. In my opinion, that's my opinion.
Wow. Yeah, agreed.
John, I agree with you too. And I think you keyed on a word there, is the why. So my question to parents would be, why do you want to coach your kids? You know, are you already coaching and your kids come into it? Because that's how it was with me. I was already coaching lacrosse. My girls grew into it, into a program where I already was. But I've been coaching since back when I was in college, coaching soccer. And then it evolved over to lacrosse. You know, or are you doing it because you want your child to play all the time? You want to win those games. You want to do it because you want to live through your child. Like, what is your why of why you want to coach your child?
Well said.
Are you to teach the love of the games and to teach multiple kids? Or are you there to get your child what you want them to get? So that would be my advice if you're going into coaching with your kids, is just know your why. What's your passion of why you're doing it?
That makes so much sense.
Yes, indeed. That's awesome. And something that I heard, again, well stated also, Kelly, I believe you mentioned it. You talked about making you a better person, a better coach, a better parent. I love that. Yes. Open dialogue. I heard the word open dialogue. And lastly, what I'm hearing is honesty. So what I'm hearing is honesty. So I appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us. I have one more. One last question. And obviously, we're talking about the great things that come with being a coach / parent coach, right?
Coach Vic, I think you missed Kelly's response there, my brother.
Oh, Kelly, you have. Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly, please.
That's okay. I was just going to mention that, you know, Jana said the why that you're coaching. And I was, you know, thinking of that too. You know, a lot of us go into coaching because you see the type of coaching that your child is getting. And we're all coaches and sporty parents. But it's okay to step back from coaching when it's not working, you know, and that's what I learned too, that, you know, if it is a strain on the relationship and you need to take a step back from it, you know, that's okay too. And your child, you know, doesn't have to receive the, you know, the top level coaching, you know, in 12U baseball or 12U volleyball, and they're going to be just fine.
Wow, what an interesting point, Kelly. Stepping back as a coach, that takes a lot of humbleness first and foremost, and certainly someone who's honest. And I appreciate that. Wow, certainly. To our listeners, I hope we're taking
focused notes. Yeah, speaks to our next question, Dr. Ramsey, for sure.
Yeah. So indeed. So what are the instances where you have where you're not? It's not advisable to take on the challenges of being a parent coach. What are some of those instances where you say, you know, this is it? I'm taking, for example, what Kelly shared, I'm stepping back.
Right.
What are those instances?
Or when you would recommend to somebody, nah, I wouldn't recommend it in this situation, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll just keep going from where I was going from. As far as my personal situations, when it becomes a strain on your relationship with your child, you know, and you're not able to communicate with them in the way you want to, and maybe your style isn't quite meeting their style on the court. You know, it's okay. You're not everybody's cup of tea, right? And the way I can coach one son and then I couldn't coach my other son, or, you know, had more struggles coaching my other son. I think a lot of it is, you know, coaching is hard in general. You know, being a coach is very hard. So, you know, coaching your kids makes it even that much tougher.
Yes. Any other thoughts?
Sure. Any other thoughts?
Hearing all these wonderful parents share their thoughts and feelings, I've almost learned as much about parenting today as I have about coaching. The empathy and the compassion and trying to make it a worthwhile experience. I guess you shouldn't go into it if it's all about you and not about the kids. You've got to separate your own ego from the process. Several times you might be pursuing what you thought was perfection or an undefeated season. And I found myself saying, that's something I wanted more than the kids wanted. I thought it was something the kids want. And you might have 8 or 10 wins in a row, and then you're down 2-0 in the last game to complete the undefeated season. And the kids were all right with that. And I was kind of sad, but they said, no, coach, we gave it everything we got. And this is the deal we've been served up. So you really have to take yourself out of the equation. If it's all about you and not about the kids and not about learning and developing, then I would say coaching is not advisable.
Thank you, Dr. Reeds. That's great. Kelly, fantastic stuff. Any other thoughts from panelists about when maybe it not be advisable to take on this responsibility?
So I actually just stepped down.
Okay.
As a varsity coach, because I got to the point where I felt like even though I was with my kids all the time, I wasn't with my kids. So I've stepped back, helping with the transition this year. But, you know, I'm going to those college games to watch my kid now and actually be just a parent, you know, not giving that advice after her game, even though she's asking for it or anything else, just being a parent. So for me, I just knew my coaching career, I'm ready to be a mom at this point.
Wow. That's wonderfully said.
Special.
Wow.
That's awesome. Wow.
Special.
I totally 100% agree with that. Jana, I think that's wonderful. You got amazing daughters, psyched on your behalf. The only addition that I would make there is in 2023, we've got so many people dealing with different mental disorders. different challenging social psychological spaces that really a little bit of objectivity with regard to how am I doing, right? So if you're dealing with depressive disorder, not a good idea to coach at that point. If you're dealing with some type of anger-related disorder, not a great idea for you to coach at that point. If you are dealing with anxiety, not a great idea for you to coach at that point. Make sure that you are the picture of health that you want to be before you offer your services into an arena where those things are only going to get exacerbated. If you believe for a fraction of a second that coach, it's easy, it's kids, it's no big deal, I'll be fine, it's going to be great. It couldn't be further from the truth. They will take you to your limits. And so the idea that I am really working hard to tackle something in that space, in my opinion, just does not go hand in glove to those arenas. And so to Jana's point and to Kelly's point, stepping back, boy, you can really be doing everybody a favor. And Dr. Ramsey, to your point, to have the objectivity and stay humble enough to say, yeah, this is probably the right choice. I really respect that in others. And yeah. Jana, kudos to you.
Yeah, and I heard you say, take care. You'll do everybody a favor. And what your emphasis was, especially on yourself, if you're not ready there yet mentally. I appreciate that. This great, is a lot great, of great stuff.
Yeah, great advice. And you know, it's even bigger than that too, John. You know, relationship issues, precarity, and other instances that, you know, whether it's job stress or things that are going to really perhaps disrupt or keep you distracted, you don't need that going into the responsibility itself, and particularly when you're coaching your own in that mix as well. So that's great advice from John and Jana indeed, and Kelly as well. So we have a special treat for today for our listeners. Aside from our fantastic expert panel, we have also brought on, where we could, the children of our panelists to provide some impromptu feedback. And you already heard Harrison Reed's, Dr. Reed's chip off the old block, talk a little bit about his experiences and how it aligns to how Dr. Reed's strive to endeavor to coach his own. And Harrison, you know, again, props and snaps to Canisius College, is a recent grad of our physical and health education, teacher education program. And we're certainly proud of him, and now teaching and I believe serving in an administrator role as well, and overseeing athletics as well. So that we're really proud of Harrison. And so we'll invite Harrison.
Congratulations.
We'll invite Harrison to start and just talk about, what are the pros and cons of being taught by or being coached by moms and dads? And then I've also got my children on, Channing Seymour and Chase Seymour, who can add to the conversation. But we'll have Harrison start. He's a little bit more senior when it comes to these special guests.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Seymour. What I wrote down so far listening to our podcast is, as a coach, try your best to be somebody who is worthy of emulating. Obviously, the same as a parent as well. I had the great opportunity to have a father coach me who was a coach before he was a father. So I didn't think that for one second he didn't know what he was doing. He's just here to be a parent. You know, he's just some guy that stepped in. I knew that, okay, my dad is like the real deal, because I've his old players have came over and talked to us and seen us out at a restaurant. Oh man, your dad. I get so many of that. Those people. So I had a decent, Billy's background in that. But as somebody who is a new coach, or somebody who's relatively new to coaching and then decides to coach their son, I would say that be somebody who's worthy of emulating. Right now, as Dr. Seymour said, I'm in my first year at St. Mary's of Swarmville. I'm a preschool to 8th grade teacher, and I also am their athletic director, which came with its own set of challenges. At Mary's, a lot of our coaches, actually, like I think all of them so far, are parents, and I think it's great. It's awesome. But sometimes, you know, parents might be coaching for some of the reasons that we've said so far in our talk about, you know, well, I want to just do it. My kid we need a coach for a team, so I'll step in and do it. So I would really encourage those like newer coaches to try to get that wealth of knowledge so that your kids can have a background thinking like, okay, well, you know, my mom or my dad's a coach and not my dad. It's because I didn't think of my dad as my dad as I was, you know, in training or on match day. I just thought, yeah, this is my coach. Happens to me my dad. But I had never felt one time that there was a different distinction, which is obviously easier said than done. But I mean, I was able to not only continue my dad, I coached my old school's varsity soccer team this fall, and I had a lot of fun doing it. But I was able to see my dad as somebody that, okay, not only do I want to like be like him as a man, but I want to do his job. You know, I'm currently teaching. I want to be a coach like him. So I guess try to keep that in mind. Like, not only are you coaching your kids right now, but you're coaching future adults instead of just somebody, you know, your kid or somebody's kid. I was very lucky to have a experience like I had.
Thanks, Harrison. That was fantastic. We're certainly proud of you indeed.
Yes.
Yep. I can see
thank you.
Your dad's glowing right now on the video screen. So let's turn it over to Channing and Chase, and let's make it let's try to distill the questions a little bit for you, boys. How about what are the benefits of having your dad as a coach?
So like you know how to get better, and he gives you tips of how to get better, not only on the ice but off the ice for me. And I think it helps us both improve as players.
Awesome. Thanks, Channing. What do you think, Chase?
Well, like, pros to it is, like, kind of like how you said, like, you can, like, you like, he gives you extra tips, and you can improve off, like, off the field or the ice, like, because, and when he knows what they're doing, and he was, like, he knows what he was doing.
Awesome. Thank you, Chase. Thank you, Channing. So here's the opportunity for my mulligans and let's see how many mulligans I can have here. So what do you think are the challenges, or what are the things that make it difficult to have your dad as a coach?
I would say that there's more pros, but as the cons of it, I would think that what's bad about it is like, obviously he's more tough on you than the players.
Yep.
He would have he can have the urge to call you out in practice than other players, so you can improve. And sometimes you can get a little upset about it, and you can talk back to him.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. What do you think there, Chase?
Kind of like what he said, like, sometimes, like, I feel like I know what I'm doing, and he's just like, no, that's wrong, and it gets me really mad. So, like, I talk back, and then since he's the coach, he can do what he wants to do, and if I don't get any ice.
From the mouth of babes. Wow. Yeah.
Priceless.
Awesome. Wow. Priceless. Indeed, indeed. Wow.
Yeah. Anything else to share, boys? What do you think?
Mainly, I think that having you as a coach is better, knowing that I can improve than just having a coach that's not my father. I'd rather you on the ice than in the stands.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Thank
well
you.
Well said. Well said.
Well, I love the point that Harrison brought up, too. For our listeners, the idea that, you know, as a young man who eventually experienced his father as a coach, he knew his father coached prior to him, you know, prior to Harrison being born, you know, the experience that Dr. Reed's had. I think that really bodes well for those that are looking to take on this important but challenging endeavor indeed.
And what I heard also was the fact that the personality traits that are positive. That's what I heard from Harrison. And I thank you for that, because the word emulate resonated with me. And I truly appreciate that also.
Great stuff. Anything else how about our panelists? Any questions that you might have for our special surprise guests, or we can wrap up whatever we want to do?
Oh yeah. I definitely have a question.
Okay.
So Harrison, I'm a big fan of your dad. I don't know if you're aware that he was my professor 25 years ago.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm not sure. I wanted to ask, did you have him when you finished up with Canisius?
I did. Yeah, he was my professor for sports psych and for concepts of teaching motor skills. Yes. So I had him for two.
Great classes, right?
Yeah, two great ones for sure.
Totally agree. Yeah. So I'm curious, everybody in our class all would characterize your dad as having a great sense of humor, as being a really entertaining guy. We all, you know, kind of know him kind of flying off the cuff in that educational setting, which is like, it's super easy to get into that class and be in that space. A, does that exist at home? B, do you share in that opinion of how engaging and awesome your dad is? Two questions to you.
Yeah. A, at home, it is real relaxed. A lot of, you know, hanging out. I watched a lot of golf as a kid. That was what was on TV. Ray's a Leafs fan. He's from Hamilton, Ontario.
Let's go.
At home, I think that was sort of my dad's kind of like, okay, now I can just kind of like relax, actually.
Yes.
Whereas coaching, it was like 100% like full focus, teaching 100% full focus. And for my panelists and for the viewers that haven't seen my dad operate in a classroom, there's lots of physical activity in there. And it was the same coaching. He would pop himself into a practice, into our little scrimmage game and score. And we'd go crazy. Or he'd show us how to tackle a kid. But no one ever thought, like the kids that got tackled never were like, oh geez, coach must hate me. He just took my legs out. It was all like from love.
Yes.
And he never tackled somebody like completely out of the blue where this kid has no idea and then they're horizontal. But yeah, coaching or being his player, it gave me a good sense of confidence because I knew, okay, I had to be good. And sometimes soccer was where he coached me, and I would be on a yellow card, and he'd see that I was going a little bit too crazy in the next one, and I get taken out.
Yeah.
And looking back at it, I thought, oh man, I just wanted to get that guy. But he's teaching me, son, you can't get that guy, because if you get that guy, he can't play next game. And then that life lesson of, you know, you got to keep the anger in check, I think has really helped me off as well as on the field, kept me in some more games as well. I think my dad was big on the life lessons outside of soccer, and I think that from what I've got him in the classroom, he was big on the, yeah, this is class stuff, but this is stuff you can take with you, and not only into your classrooms, but this is stuff that like you could, you know, like the movie clips he would show,
sure,
they were very, very useful, like developmental clips. He would sure. show clips of Nemo when they were looking for his son, or show a clip Lord of the Rings when Frodo or Sam grabs Frodo's arm out of the water because he can't swim. He's saving him and telling him, no, I'm going with you, that kind of stuff. I think that all those lessons are really great to teach through sport. So anybody who's a coach or a future coach, those are some great opportunities as a coach to show your players as well as your kids those lessons, because that's a great reason to get into sports.
I tell you what. Right, you know, proof is in the pudding right there, folks. Huh?
Indeed. Wow.
Yeah, and I'd just like to respond, too. I'm thrilled that the Seymour kids can be coached by their dad, because I watched him play, and I taught him as a student, and I knew how much he had to offer. So, boys, having watched your dad play, and maybe you've seen him play, too, a little bit of old-timers, he's got a lot to offer, and you're lucky to have him as your dad and as your coach. And I think parenting is coaching. I think coaching is parenting. I would like to know that, let our viewers know that the two activities are not mutually exclusive. They can work together and complement each other, and good things can happen. And I also wanted to say that I was coached by some very, very great people, and some people, my skill set for soccer may be a little bit differently, but they accepted me for what I brought to the table. They weren't yellers, they weren't hooters, they weren't hollers. They just accepted me as I was, and I tried to give that back to the game. So you have to respect each kid's skill set, what they can bring to the table, and be compassionate. And as my son said, you gotta love these kids because they're coming to try to play for you. So I did have some wonderful role models that I learned from also.
Wow. Thank you for your kind awesome. Words, Doc. Appreciate it immensely.
Any one of our panelists, Jana or Kelly, have a question for our special guests?
Okay.
All right. So I just want to close out by hopefully asking our special guests to describe their parent coach in one word. And that is, first of all, I just want to say that the one word that I would describe your dad, guys, the Clancy, the Seymour Clang, is that he's made me look really bad on the pickleball court, but that's okay because I'm getting better. And I'm going to get a private coach. So I think I'm getting better. So I just want to say that he is an awesome pickleball player. That's the good thing I want to say about him. So one word to describe your parent coach for our special guest. Let's start with the Seymour Clan first. Either one of you guys. One word. I know you have a zillion words, but just one word.
It can be between you both.
Truthful.
All right. Truthful. I'll take it.
Awesome. Harrison?
One that came to me was encompassing. He's just knows so much about so much. Encompassing would be mine.
I love it.
So, yeah. So, in absentia of the other players, if you were to share a word that your child would say about you, Jana, Kelly, and John, what word would that be?
Great question.
Jana? Oh, I have her thinking.
Too much.
Well, two words.
That's what my boys would say about dad. That's too much.
Yeah. Too much.
Okay.
Right, well, I'll take that.
Try not to be, but that's probably what they'd say.
Okay. Kelly?
I think they'd have different words. I think my older son would say mom's fun as a coach. I think my younger son, who actually just walked in the door, would say mom's harsh as a coach.
Oh, I'm gonna ask him.
He's right here. Can we ask him? What would you say?
Absolutely. Is that Caden?
Yeah, it's me. Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Caden. Hi, thanks for joining us impromptu. We're talking about having our parents parents coaching us as children. So anything you can add, we were just asking a word that you might characterize your mom and dad with. When they've coached you, what would be a word that you would characterize each?
I mean, this was like earlier when I was a kid, but this is like when I was first starting to play volleyball. My mom was probably my first coach. And looking back, sometimes I would see a lot of passive, but I say like right when I was a kid, I would probably see a lot of assertive and aggressive. That's like the stuff that you need as a coach, you know. And obviously my dad, who was the assistant coach for my school volleyball team, people looked at him. My teammates did. They looked at him like he was the man, and like even though that he was the head coach, he had like everything they ever need.
Wow, that's awesome. Great stuff.
Yes,
thank you, son.
Thank you.
This has been fantastic, Caden. What do you think, huh? This has been great.
Thanks. Jana, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Kelly here. You'd get two different descriptions from my girls. My oldest would probably call me realistic.
Mm.
And then my youngest would call me compassionate, because they're just two separate people, and one needs to be coached one way and one needs to be coached a different way. So,
wow. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
for sure. Agreed. This was fantastic, Dr. Ramsey.
Yes, indeed.
So on behalf of New York State AFERS, Dr. Ramsey, and all of our members, we'd like to thank Mr. John and Kelly Strong for joining us, Ms. Jana Reedy, Dr. Reeds, and our surprise guest panelists, Mr. Harrison Reeds, Mr. Channing Seymour, Mr. Chase Seymour, and Mr. Caden Strong. Thank you for joining us. That was fantastic in sharing your thoughts and perspectives. This session will be posted on the New York State AFERS website and our podcast channel. Stay tuned for more exciting shows in the near future.
Yes. Yes, and please visit us at newyorkstateaford.org, social media handles at New York State AFERS, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. And please mark your calendars and stay tuned with all the resources that New York State Amherst offers, including our A to Z podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.